Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning into Brussels Sprouts, which is the podcast that the Center for New American Security has now started, and we have a number of podcasts under our belt, and this is going to be a very important addition to that portfolio of podcasts. I have with us today two ministers of defense who have, at this time, some pretty important portfolios to manage and to take care of, and these two ministers are have embarked on a very close relationship with the United States, with our Minister of Defense, General Mattis. And we look forward to working very closely with you in the months and years to come as we deal with the security situation in the Nordic Baltic area. The first Minister of Defense with us today is from Estonia, and it's Minister Margus Tsahkna, who has just taken up his position. I guess it was in November where you became minister.
Yeah, it was November last year, and in Estonia you can say even that I have been pretty long time a minister. So
well,
it was November last year.
Well, that sounds great. The Lithuanian Minister of Defense, Raimundas Karoblis, is also new to the portfolio. I think you were sworn into office in December.
Yes, in December.
2016.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are just really honored to have you all here, as busy as you are during this day. My first question for you all, just to reflect on a little bit, is you're both new as defense ministers, formally as defense ministers. You've both been very influential in your parties, however, and in the politics of your capital. So it's not like you're new to the levers of power. You know how to pull those levers. But being a defense minister in the Baltics in this day, in the Nordic Baltic area, is a pretty big responsibility. You have NATO forces on your territory. You've had U.S. forces as well coming in and out since Crimea. And you're looking at now increasing defense spending as well, a lot of pressure at NATO to increase NATO deterrence. How does this feel? How does this sit with you? Is this something that you relish and you're jumping into, or is the responsibility something that you find a heavy burden?
Yeah, first of all, you're right that this is the main feeling is responsibility. Responsibility vis-a-vis your society, your people, that, well, Lithuania needs to be protected and, of course, defendable. And it is really a responsibility to prepare the society. Even we expect that everything will be for the best, but our functions are to prepare for the worst. So we need to prepare the society to have the resilience to prepare and modernize our armed forces, also to receive the light troops. It's, yes, first of all, about responsibility. Secondly, yes, it's one of the new challenges is that, well, increase of funding, but also investment. It's not only getting the money from the budget, but the rightly distribution and rightly, of course, to invest to infrastructure, to people, to weaponry, and it is quite a challenge, but really it is really interesting. Also, responsibility working in the international area. So NATO with the U.S. allies, with European allies. So we have the troops from European nations in Lithuania, continuation of presence of American troops here also, and we need to continue with our case, and that the measures which are taken vis-a-vis Lithuania and other Baltic countries, that they should be the adequate to the situation which we have, and here we have still a lot what to do.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. There is a lot to do, and Minister Tsahkna, is this something also in terms of Estonia? How does this burden rest on your shoulders? A lot of what your Lithuanian colleague spoke about is true for Estonia as well. Are you planning for the worst?
We are always ready for the worst, but we have been living there already a couple of thousands of years, and of course the last 100 years has been complicated, but we have this knowledge and readiness in the mental ways. And of course, we're based on the understanding what we had in 1939 and 40, and what I feel as a Minister of Defense is a huge support from the society. Never be alone again.
Yeah.
And that's a proof of that is that Estonia is spending 2.2% of GDP this year for defense, and all the Baltic states are going to fulfill the 2% criteria very soon. And this is based on the common understanding in the society that we have to invest, we have to be ready, and we have to work together with our allies. So to be the Minister of Defense in Estonia is the best job, actually, if one politician can have, of course, with a full responsibility. But there is a political consensus about defense, about belonging to NATO, belonging to EU since 1991-92, whenever this idea was crazy to join. We had the Russian troops in Estonia since 1994, but now we're a free country, and we're putting lots of effort into our relations to allies and also our independent capabilities. I'm very happy about my background, is that I used to be the Crocodile committee member during our economical crisis when we had to make the cuts, because I was in the parliament financial committee member. We made a crazy cuts, more than 25%, close to 25% during 1 year, but not from defense. And actually, we caught the 2% at this time. So to be related to defense, this is like a natural part of Estonian political persons. My past was related to the social protection in the last government. And I can say honestly that to deal with defense, it's much more clear. You know, it's exactly where every euro is going and what it's worth. And I can say this is worth to invest.
Well, I remember those days so well that you mentioned for all the three Baltic nations in the early 90s, trying to deal with the idea of at the time, Soviet troops on your territory. How could we get them out? And then how do the three Baltic nations begin to build their own defense, their deal with national security, as well as trying to take care of the economy? And we're all the whole Nordic Baltic region, as well as the U.S. and other NATO allies, were involved in those days helping you to do that. And so, you know, since those days, there was this great engagement, particularly after the Baltic nations made it into NATO, of all of us pulling together and building defense, starting off with the Baltic Battalion, if you remember that, and getting into all these other programs. And then we've come to this era just over the past couple of months where all of this unity and all this working together seems to be in peril, at least if you listen to a lot of the news media, a lot of commentators, including myself, a great fear that with the U.S. election and the U.S. administration, that there might be a walking back of this kind of close cooperation that the United States has had with NATO or with the individual allies. There was great concern, particularly after Trump's visit to NATO headquarters and the speech that he gave, the lecturing tone, that this was a whole new U.S., a whole new government that the allies were going to have to deal with. And it did not seem the familiar government, the familiar America that you had grown up to understand and to work with, certainly during the 1990s. Is that perception yours as well? I mean, are you feeling this too in your capitals? Are your people feeling this? Or is this something that might be part of the political churn that happens in Washington after this election?
I'm saying that this is a question I get like very often. But I'm a very practical person, as well as Estonians are. And what I see and witness during the last 3-4 months is very good and very concrete relations with the United States, between Estonia and also the three Baltic states. What we are witnessing now is that after the NATO Warsaw decision last year, a bit more than 9 months ago, now the implementation to bring the troops to Baltic region and also U.S. troops in Poland, it's reality. It's done. What we see as well, that the budget negotiations, that 1.4 billion extra euros to European Deterrence Initiative, it's reality, what we see as well. We see the many, many very high delegations visiting Baltic region and discussing over what are the next steps. So in real life, I can't see this kind of change. But it's also the question about the today's communications. One is Twitter, and the second is the like real world. So as Minister of Defense, I can relay on these relations, what we have, and then we must be very practical.
That's right.
And that's we are following. We are keeping our words, and I don't see any marks that there will be the other way around. And about this Brussels meeting when Donald Trump as well visited NATO, that was first time, I think, in his speech when he mentioned Russia by name in a very concrete concept. So there was some messages very clear as well, what we can say that the understanding is there.
Yeah, some message that was welcome. Well, Minister Karoblis, is it the same in Lithuania? I know that General Mattis, our Secretary of Defense, visited you there. And what is your feeling as you watch Americans wring their hands and other European allies wring their hands about the relationship?
I would start here from the, let's say, quoting the plate, which is on our Vilnius historical townhouse. So quoting the President Bush, so what he said during his visit, historical visit for us in 2002, that enemies of Lithuania are also enemies of America. And it was before us joining to NATO. And what we hear also from the Secretary of Defense Mattis, the same, but of course in 2002 it was said in one, let's say, specific security environment, and now it's different security environment, and we really have here full commitments from the United States regarding the defense and support for the Baltic countries. Well, the visit of Mr. Mattis a month ago, but before that the meeting of Mr. Vice President Pence with three Baltic presidents also was very clear messages, and also saw the speech in the Atlantic Council of Vice President Pence was about the collective defense, about Article 5, also about, of course, our solidarity on all of the issues, including anti-terrorism and others, of course. Yes, I think U.S. is really right, and President Trump is true, that Europe must invest more to the defense. It's absolutely clear. Unfortunately, it was not done so long time, and it's these signs, they are, in my view, they are really positive, that it's awakening calls for Europe to invest more and to care more for its security.
So really a lot of what we're seeing in the press and the talk, particularly in Washington, and the great fear of this American isolationism coming to the fore with this new administration, at least in the minds of the two ministers of defense from Lithuania and Estonia, from a pragmatic point of view, that this is actually things are going along okay, and you don't fear necessarily for the future. You think we're gonna make it right through the next number of years, doing the things that need to be done to strengthen deterrence and to make sure the Russians don't seek any type of aggressive move in your neighborhood.
Absolutely. This is what we actually see, is that the same understanding what we have had commonly in the NATO and also in between our states to invest more, to fulfill the Wales promises to get the 2% for defense. This story has been already years on the table.
Yeah.
So not what we see as well, that Trump is pushing pretty hard European allies to invest more. And
yeah.
And as a Baltic region states, I think that this is what we are welcoming very much, that the European allies are putting more into defense, what we see in real life.
Yeah.
The second thing is, well, as well, it's my personal opinion, that what we saw, that if there is international law, and that is a violation of international law about the using chemical weapons, then that was a really very concrete message when Trump sent 59 Tomahawks. It was a clear message that there are red lines.
That's right.
Which can be guaranteed by military power. So this is maybe not connected to our region, but they are very strong messages, yeah, actually,
yeah,
what we see. So yeah, there are many concrete things what we can witness, yeah, as well.
Well, that's an important narrative. That's a very important perspective. Well, let me ask you a final question, and this is something that when I have over time spoken with ministers or others from the Baltic nations, and we talk about Russia, we talk about Crimea, Ukraine, we talk about NATO deterrence, the point that's always been made to me is, but Jim, you know, we are in a state of war right now. We consider ourselves at war, or at least in phase one or phase two of conflict, where there is propaganda, there's misinformation, there is cyber attack, there's bullying, there's overflights of our sovereign territory. American ships, as well as other allied ships, are buzzed by Russian aircraft. Why do you look on this as something that we have to deter when we feel we're in the middle of this? Is that a perspective that you will both share in terms of how you feel vis-a-vis Russia, that in fact you're in the early stages of you, at least a hybrid conflict?
Yeah, well, speaking about, maybe from other side, I think that NATO already also recognizes that Russia is now the conventional threat for NATO. And it's the only conventional threat which we have, actually, looking not from political side, but from, let's say, military side, as is here. Regarding the conflict, speaking at the conventional time terms, yes, it's not the conflict from the side. And yes, the security situation is quite turbulent here, but on the other hand, well, resilience of our nations increased significantly. All our Baltic countries, we went for the modernization of our armed forces. Also, we have significant deterrence measures from our allies, including enhanced forward presence of the European nations, led by European nations, saying that despite this unpredictable security situation, Lithuania has never had such a number of allies as now, and did not have such a number of guarantees as now. So really, in our view, measures of deterrence, they are working, and they continue to work. We expect that they will increase, but nevertheless, so it work and should work. On hybrid, I think here we are constantly in the conflict, but not only Baltic countries, but all, right, Europe, first of all, and all the world, actually, yeah, knowing what has happened in the United States and others. We are already a long time, well, looking to the already referendum in the Netherlands, an association agreement of Ukraine. Well, without any doubts, there were influence of our eastern neighbor. Then elections in France, it is recognized. And not only information wars, but also the Russian money. Well, knowing, of course, some members of the European Parliament, it's already several years it was clear that Russian money here, but, yeah, but unfortunately Europe did not succeed to take an adequate measure so far. On cyber, we also constantly we have the attacks, but it's not only about really Baltics, but in all the world. So really, it's new timing, and it's also all kinds of hybrid also are such that we need all to prepare ourselves. Yeah. So individual efforts will not be, they are important, but they will not be enough without cooperation, without collective efforts.
Well, thank you. That's a very interesting perspective. And Minister Sakas, how does it sound to you?
You know, this is story already years, and you know definitely as well that we have been keep going on this understanding that Russia is a threat. But we have been taking pretty obviously that we are maybe some kind of like small panic countries who want to make us ourselves more interesting. But unfortunately, we were right. There was Georgia, there was Ukraine. After Georgia, there was not very clear and strong message from the Western world, and exactly what we have been saying before that Russia is not accepting the gray zones in neighboring positions. So there came the Ukraine. And then the common understanding of the Western world, NATO and EU as well, came. And it's there. We are welcoming now, already a few months ago, the NATO troops in Baltic region and Poland. We see as well the change of the Swedish attitude.
That's right.
First time they decided again to go on the conscription system.
That's right.
It shows actually that in this society something has changed, and it's based on Russian reactions and, actions. And what I see as well is, of course, the new things as a cyber, as a stratcom, fake news. There I agree with you. This is in active war already, because but this is not a military thing. It's much more based on the main goal from Russian side: how to break our societies, how to break our unity as a NATO, as a EU. So this is the cheapest but the most efficient way to fight and to weaken your probable ally, however we call it, from the Putin's perspective.
Yeah.
And it works somehow. But we have to develop our understanding as well. We have to keep this unity. We have to not let Putin make his miscalculation about our unity. This is the main theft, actually. We see the military capabilities already there. The other side of the NATO border, more than 100,000 troops in our region.
That's right.
Exercising. So it's there.
Yeah.
But there is a question about will.
Yeah.
Do something or not. And this will is based on the calculation. Putin is very rational. So we cannot let him to miscalculate.
Yeah,
this is all about this unity.
Yeah.
Now, really, I think we are not recipients of the security, but we also the contributors. And all we Baltic countries since 9/11, we participated in Afghanistan. And, some countries, including in Estonia, it was had a lot of casualties, really, compared with really the size. We less that, but we really participated in Afghanistan. So, we still participate, and we will be here until it will be necessary. Also, we are the part of anti-ISIS coalition, and we will continue here. And also, we are considering to increase the number of troops. So we are committed. In total, Lithuania participates in 9 foreign operations, of course, starting from Afghanistan, Iraq, ISIS, then Mali, Mediterranean, and other. And also, one of the important areas of cooperation is also Ukraine.
Yeah.
So we also, it's our contribution to the reforms of this country, to the reforms of the defense system, which is necessary for them. Well, want with that or not, but they are defending the southeastern flank of democracy, and we also need to support them.
Minister, you want to add from the Estonian point of view?
Yeah, the same. All our missions are going to south because we understand pretty clearly that if we need any kind of help from our allies in northeast, in the east border of NATO, so we participate per capita pretty high level in different missions. And I was 2 weeks ago in Iraq visiting our troops for training there together with the Danish and Latvia, Lithuania. Troops, what I can declare as a defense minister that we are ready to put more, but where, when, let's discuss it, because this counter-ISIL coalition, this mission, this is crucial. We see what's going on. We just witnessed in London again the new terror attack.
That's right.
But this is crucial. We have to work together there as well, and this is our common understanding.
Well, thank you both for that. I think this is an important note to end on, and that is for the Baltic nations, and I'll include Latvia in this as well. Year after year after year after year, the Baltic nations have demonstrated that they are producers of security. You take part in NATO operations, you take part in coalitions, you take part in bilateral things with the United States. You do not sit there in your capitals and just consume from the alliance. You're there too. Even if it's just one person or two people, or if it's 50 or 100, you're there when it counts. And in, at NATO and with the United States, I have to say that that counts for a lot. It's not just how much you spend. It's what you spend it on and your willingness to use it. And I, and as you've just pointed out, you, both of you, Lithuania and Estonia, you're there when it counts. And we really appreciate that. You're great allies. And I thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.